The Raiders is a team that we don't care for.
Something, something, Bronco. With Lord Lattimore of Oakland, Jess Place, and Tim Lynch.
Yes, my master.
Get involved in the conversation at milehighreport.com. Incomplete. Put down your popcorn, pick up your sodas, grab a beer. It's time for Something Something Broncos. I've got Lori Lattimore Volkman here. I've got Tim Lynch here. Today, we are brought to you by John Elway's Quarterback, the only Nintendo Entertainment System football game that matters besides all the other ones that were way better.
Did you know there was a glitch on John Elway's Quarterback that if you threw it a certain way and a receiver caught it, he ran 10 times as fast as everybody else and you can run around the whole field, nobody ever catch you?
I did not know that.
Did not know that. When John Elway's Quarterback game came out, how many games do you think I got for Christmas of John Elway's Quarterback? Because they're like, oh, Tim likes this, of course. So, yes, I played the shit out of that game.
So, free agency officially opened today. The league year has begun. The Broncos have made some moves. They've razzled. They've dazzled. They've flaccoed. How do you feel about it, Lori? Joe Flacco, quarterback of the Denver Broncos.
Pretty good. Elite. I feel elite.
And Tim, do you share your her elite feelings?
I think Bronco fans are going to be surprised by Joe Flacco's performance in 2019. So he's actually a good quarterback. Whereas Case Keenum had one good year, Joe Flacco actually has had a pretty good career. You know, the elite jokes aside, you know, he got a massive contract that maybe he wasn't quite Aaron Rodgers good, but I think he's above average quarterback, an actual above average quarterback, not a quarterback who had an above average year one time. Has a career 2-to-1 touchdown interception ratio, 62% career passer. He's not a bad quarterback, is all I'm saying.
We definitely upgraded by having Flacco instead of Keenum. I don't think that we should start getting too excited that we're going to have a Super Bowl MVP type quarterback. But hopefully we have a quarterback who can move the ball downfield. He's seemingly is a better scheme fit, as Elway and Fangio kind of indicated today, and that could do wonders. All we need is for Flacco to be efficient and keep that 2-to-1 TD to INT ratio and move the ball down the field, and we can win games, and we can have a defense hopefully that will prevent the other team from scoring more points than us.
Central to the game of football. I agree.
That's what I've heard.
Were you more excited about news of Flacco coming to Denver or of Case Keenum being traded to Washington?
Keenum traded to Washington for sure.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I have to agree with that.
I always love to think about him just like grabbing all of Case Keenum's stuff and just like kind of throwing it into the parking lot at Dove Valley. And he's like, "Look at stuff," and then like he goes out and chases it. They just like lock the door real quick, like, "Ha ha, I can't get in!" And they're like waving at him and stuff. Fuck you! Fuck you! And then they close the blinds, and it's Joe Flacco's face.
That's
cue the movie production by Just Place.
There you go. That's what I bring to the table. Yeah,
I mean that's pretty close to what I was seeing in my head when I saw the Broncos tweet out, "Thank you, Case Keenum," today.
I was just going to say, the Broncos Twitter game today was not on the mark. You could tell their little promo video of Joe Flacco, which was so PR. It was like clearly trying to make us believe that this guy is going to lead us to the promised land. Broncos tweet just saying, "Thank you, Case Keenum." And you could tell a kind of half-assed effort to say, "Hey, thanks, but see you later." Didn't work out.
Don't go away mad. Just go away.
If you want to see good Twitter game, I was at the top of my game today on Mile High. So.
Yes, Mile High Report Twitter.
At Mile High Report Twitter. I feel good about Wednesday. So
Twitter game was very on point the other day with the Raiders stuff. Like you were kind of taking him to task. Long story short, if you're not following Mile High Report on Twitter, at Mile High Report, great follow for everyone who likes Mile High Report. Oh, God, we're off the rails already, aren't we? Okay, so so Joe Flacco, thumbs up, thumbs down, moderate, like a one quarter tick thumbs up over Case Keenum. Is that the consensus? Like we're kind of happy with
It's a thumbs up. It's a thumbs up for sure.
I'm a two thumbs up.
Double thumb?
Two thumbs.
Two thumbs?
I'm only going with one. Only one from me.
Okay. If it was either Case Keenum or Joe Flacco, I'm doing the two thumbs, please. Give me anyway, Joe Flacco.
We are steadily improving, and like that's at least we're not like the Giants, where clearly we just have no idea what the hell we're doing.
Where we just gave away our very best player.
We're just gonna do it. And as of recording, Eli Manning is still on the roster, and they just extended a first round pick to putting Lori on the spot. What is the name of the wide receiver they put a first round tender on?
Oh, I don't know.
Corey Coleman. He was a first-round pick in 2016. I've never heard of him.
So, all right. So, aside from Joseph Flacco, we got
Kareem Jackson.
Kareem Jackson is a Denver Bronco, and he's kind of amazing. Like when Chris Hart, who we had on the Something Something Broncos podcast last week, was like, he's the guy I wanted, and like clicking around, I was looking, and oh my god, the guy can play. He's actually like, I'm kind of excited to see what he can do. It was savage, it was brutal, it was like, wow, like that's a hit. Like I could get used to that if that's what the day-to-day is. So Tim, how do you feel about Kareem Jackson coming to the Denver Broncos?
Good signing. I think he fills an immediate need with Bradley Roby leaving. The contract is favorable to basically a two-year contract, and the Broncos have an option where they could get out of it in 2021. You know, my only concern was his age, but he's coming off his best season yet. Pair him with Chris Harris Jr., provides some stability in the secondary, and hopefully Fangio can figure out how to get Justin Simmons and Will Parks to play at a higher level in 2019.
What about Juwan James? Denver Broncos lost out on Billy Turner, ended up going to the Green Bay Packers. They immediately went after Juwan James.
That's a good thing, because Billy Turner's a pretty good backup, but he got starter money. So I'll take the starting right tackle, who's pretty damn good, over a backup who's getting starter money any day. So good signing. I like him. What about you, Lori?
I think both of our free agent signings were good moves. We got two positions that we really needed to fill, and I think it was important to fill them with free agents and not rely on the draft, because I think those are positions we need starters. And so Kareem Jackson will come in, and he's an obvious upgrade over Bradley Roby, and I do think he'll be a good combination with Chris Harris Jr. And then with Juwan James, we're definitely helping that offensive line. I'm sad that we don't have Matt Paradise, and it feels like we...
Matt who?
Paradise. It feels like we really could have had him. He didn't sign for any more money than we had initially offered him. It would have been great to keep him. Even injury aside, I think the continuity and his football IQ would have been really helpful. I think it will get better. So I feel good about both those guys.
I find it hard to get very excited about offensive linemen, except ones that don't hold. Like it's really kind of like a terrible position to be in. You only get noticed when you get like multiple penalties called on you at Garrett Bowles. at Orlando Franklin. I hope he's great. He looks like he's going to be great. There are all these great things people are saying, and James. Why not? Let's go. Let's go, James. You ready to ball? Let's ball. Let's play some Bronco football. Let's go. All right. And so besides Matt Paradis, the Broncos lost some players.
Oh, when free agency opened, I kind of broke down everything the Broncos did. And one of the section was
you know, free agent losses, and it listed all the Broncos unrestricted free agents, and of all of them, the only two that have signed have been, well, three, Billy Turner and Matt Paradis and Bradley Roby. People were kind of wondering, why aren't we signing him back? I mean, it'd be great to have Demonte Pecco back. It'd be great to have, you know, Zach Kerr and Shaquille Barrett and Jeff Huerman. But aside from Barrett, are you thinking any of these players would change losses to wins in games for the Broncos next year? I really don't think so. Yeah. They could find anybody. It's just...
Well, as long as we find people. I think Jeff Huerman is replaceable, but he was pretty good as long as he wasn't hurt.
I would love for him to work out. It wasn't in the cards, like, from the get-go. Like, it never materialized with him. He had a couple. He flashed. He definitely flashed, but it's just, it's not working. Like, you pull stakes and move on when clearly it's not working.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, too, is the Broncos aren't done. The cap numbers for Jackson and James are amazingly low in the first year. It's $6 million cap hit in the first year for Jackson, and an $8 million hit for James. So that's, you know, six and eight, that's $14 million. With all the roster moves that they made, they were in the 30s. So they've got plenty of room to make more signings. So I just think Elway's waiting for some of them bargain bin shopping.
Well, good. By all means, you know, that's how the Broncos used to do it. Like, the 97 and 98 Super Bowls were all scratch and dent guys. Very rarely do you go after the DeMarcus Ware, the TJ Wards, and Aqib Talibs, and actually win the Super Bowl as a result. So, yeah, I think bargain basement is the way to go.
Really? Absolutely. There's some positions we need to not be bargain basement, like linebacker, for example. I'm curious what they're going to do. I didn't expect Mosley to be a Bronco, but we're not going to get Jordan Hicks. And
it's a deep draft, though.
I mean, I've been pounding the pavement for Devin White to be our first-round draft pick, but we might have to move up to get him, even at 10, so that's not likely to happen. And we should talk about this. Given that we traded away Case Keenum, which I'm in favor of, I think that actually puts a lot more pressure on us to get a decent quarterback in this draft. Maybe not in the first round, but we've got to get, you know, probably look for one in the second round at least, so that we have a decent backup and possibly have a quarterback of the future, or we do it again next year. But I'm not sure we can spend our first round pick on a different position now that we don't really have a second stringer.
I think they have a list of guys already that they're really, really excited about in this draft. And I wouldn't be surprised if Drew Locke is at the top of that list. But if he ends up, if some team trades up and takes him, I have a feeling they're comfortable with several other guys that should be available at 10. And I don't think they're going to do anything. I don't think they're going to move up. I don't think they're going to move back. I think they're going to stand right where they're at, and they're going to be comfortable letting the draft fall to them wherever it may fall. And if they don't get Drew Locke and they end up getting a Devin White or some other defensive player at that position, then you're going to see them draft a quarterback in the second or third rounds that they're also comfortable with at that spot. So, you know, I like the patience. I want everything to be fixed right away and for this team to be great again, but I don't think that's going to happen right away. I think, you know, you look at Fangio, he built that defense from the ground up. It took 4 years. You know, we're just going to have to be patient.
I think the lesson from the last draft, from the 2018 draft, is that it's better when you let the draft kind of come to you. We're not even to the next draft, and people are still like, no, that was really a good draft. And so hopefully the lesson that he learned was that you let the draft come to you, and that's how we play it this year.
That's the caveat. If you don't get your quarterback this year, you need to be willing to play the draft, get good quality players, and you're going to have to bet the farm at some point and go get that franchise quarterback, because the position is so damn important that when the time comes and the draft class is going to be stacked at quarterback, at some point you got to take the risk. And
I think we can get Marcus Mariota here next year.
That's what I'm saying. No, I don't want to go down that road every 2 or 3 years. But if you don't feel convinced that a guy this year is, you know, the next Aaron Rodgers or whatever, and you need to trade up to get him, then you need to play the draft, let the draft fall to you. But if you come next year, if you got a legitimate, there's no way this guy isn't going to be a franchise quarterback, a Baker Mayfield or something, you got to bet the farm. Now put all your chips on the table and go get him. In order to get up to that first top five range, they're going to have to really trade draft capital to get there. They're going to have to trade multiple first rounders, a second rounder. They're going to have to really actually bet the farm. And I don't know if Elway actually has that in him to do.
A Russell Wilson, a Tony Romo, if you will.
Tom Brady.
for every one of those guys, there's like 17 Trevor Siemians. So
I was just going to say that.
Yeah. All right, well, here's the real question. Where did Blake Bortles end up? He was released today by the Jacksonville Jaguars. He might be a Bronco. No, he's not.
Yeah. We're going to end the podcast right here.
No. Yeah, well, Trev still got that lucrative Skittles endorsement contract. So
I'm just saying that's how the league will view Blake Bortles compared to Trevor Siemian. And, you know, not to beat up on Trevor Siemian, I'm just saying he's not as good as y'all thought he was.
Are you talking to me?
Who was good?
Oh, no, he was good. He was terrific.
I had a tweet reply today saying, if only Trevor Siemian had a line, you would have seen how great he could have been. That was today, people. So, no.
He would have had to throw the ball past that line, and so it never would have happened. Like,
Peyton still made stuff happen. He did not have his best year, but he could hold on to the ball. The offense could keep the ball, and he could get a third down when he needed to. We could march down the field. Do you remember the Kansas City game where we had the ball for 11 and a half minutes and got a field goal, but we kept the defense off the field for a long time? So they got rested, and then they came in and scooped up the ball. Bradley Roby won the game. Like, it, Peyton Manning did things.
I knew which Chiefs game you were talking about, because the other game...
My point still is Peyton Manning had the same line, but he could get rid of the ball really fast. He could still make some key third downs when he had to.
I think your actual point here is that I would sign Peyton Manning today to start for my team before I would sign Trevor Siemian today.
Exactly.
I would put garbage Peyton Manning over Joe Flacco every day.
Joe Flacco? What?
Yeah.
We're talking about Trevor Siemian.
Let me translate for everybody. Tim is saying he would take Peyton Manning today versus Trevor Siemian, who's also a free agent today. Jess is saying he would also take Peyton Manning even over our current quarterback, Joe Flacco. So I think what we're all saying is...
I wouldn't go that far. But
we would like Peyton Manning.
It's crazy talk. Peyton Manning's 43 years old.
Well, and he does great commercials and all, yeah, and you know,
he'd be
great.
Entertaining at least.
Live the glory days. Like, we're not going to win this year anyway. Like, God damn it! Like, so okay. Frustrating.
You're depressing me. What's the mystery question?
That's right. There's no 13-3 coming from New Hampshire right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's really hard to be a Broncos fan up here. Everybody keeps winning all over the place. Like, Jesus. So this week's mystery question. With the bomb cyclone descending upon the greater Denver metro area, what, as Bronco fans, what was your favorite bad weather game for the Denver Broncos?
It was the very first game I went to at Mile High, and it was the old Mile High. It had to be 1983 because it was John Elway's first season. One of his very first comeback win. So I think it was against Baltimore. Jess, you're the history buff. Check me on my facts. Am I right?
Gotta look it up.
1983, the only comeback he had was against the Colts, and it was in Mile High Stadium. So Jess,
oh, there it is. Okay.
It was 21-19.
Yes.
He was 345 yards, 3 touchdown passes, and he put the beat down in week 15
of the 1983 season. It wasn't his first start, but it was his first comeback win.
Yeah. Okay, so let me go back. My sister was competing at a gymnastics state meet in Denver, and it was taking so long. It was dead, like, you know, the Broncos are playing over at Mile High. So my dad took me and my brother. I was 13 and my brother would have been 6. And we left the gymnastics meet, the state championship. We drove over to Mile High, like 20 minutes, and bought tickets to the game. It had snowed the day before, so it was packed snow, like all across the stadium. We had to, you know, like move 8 inches of snow off the bleachers. We sat in the old Mile High Stadium South stands.
And that's true, because the South stands are the only place where there were bleacher seats. So yes, I agree.
Yes, and it was awesome. Comeback win, and we got back, and my sister hadn't had a very good meet, but we pretended like the game wasn't all that fun because she was mad that we didn't stay.
Your sister a big Broncos fan to this day, or did you hold that against?
She is. My whole family's crazy Broncos fans.
So I looked the game up while you're talking, and Elway was sacked 5 times. They were down 19-0. Baltimore had the ball for 36 minutes in this game. And then in the fourth quarter, Elway throws 3 touchdown passes, ends up with 345 yards passing, and the Broncos win 21-19.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Totally Elway right there.
Totally Elway.
That's where that quote, "That's what you paid $5 million for."
Fourth down and 2 Broncos. Elway is back. Here comes the safety whip.
It was an easy pass for me. I just dumped in the ball. Being able to do that my rookie year helped my confidence, and plus it was a great feeling to do against the Colts.
I've never actually been to a Bronco home game, unfortunately, so I was thinking about the most fun I've ever had watching a Broncos game, a bad weather one, was in 2015 when they came back to beat the Patriots in overtime with Brock Osweiler, and I was going nuts in that game. I couldn't believe it. When the Patriots scored and went up late in that game, I was like, oh, season's over. There's no way we're going to go through Foxborough to win a Super Bowl in this game, not with the offensive struggling and all that. And then all that crazy shit happened and they won. I was like, oh my God.
Oh my God. CJ Anderson. Oh my God.
I was there. You took mine, but I have a backup.
When Brandon Bolden took that 63-yard swing pass for the touchdown in the fourth quarter to go up 21-7.
At that point, I wanted to dig a hole and hide because me and my uncle-in-law, who is he's from Seattle, so he's also a Seattle Seahawks fan. It was an absolute treat. It was one of the best football experiences I've ever had. Like hugging strangers, and even he was excited. And it was a tremendous time, and he had a good time. And he's got 6 Super Bowls, so you know he can take a loss. That's fine.
Omaha, set a toss. Anderson, he'll get it, and plenty more. CJ Anderson is going to go all the way. And the Denver Broncos win the game.
I somehow came into possession of tape of the 1984 Broncos-Packers game at Mile High. And that is something to watch if you ever get the opportunity. It's snowing. I mean, and it's not just like, it's not like bomb cyclone snow where it's like wind and a couple inches of snow and it's crazy. it was like feet of snow. And the first play, the Packers had the ball and fumble. And I believe Tom Jackson either forced the fumble or recovered the fumble and ran it back for a touchdown.
That was on Monday Night Football, right?
It was, yes. And the Broncos then kicked off again. And the very next play, I'm thinking Rulon Jones, but I'm thinking that's not right. Maybe Tom Jackson again. I'm not sure. But there was another fumble immediately. So the first 2 plays of the game, the Packers fumbled twice. for 14 points for the Broncos. They run it back, score a touchdown. And the rest of the game, it's like a dispirited Green Bay Packers squad. Just can't kind of get it going. And, oh, I can't remember his name.
Mikowski?
Mikowski. Yes, Mikowski is the guy.
And... Magic man, right?
Yes. And you know, that he can't get it going. And then, but to that end, also John Elway struggles like in the snow. Like it's like it's early in his career, and it's like he's not yet, you know, gone full Elway, and I will destroy all comers. This is a game that the defense won, and in the snow, in Old Mile High, and it was amazing.
This avalanche of turnovers created by the defense continued in a Monday night contest the following week.
Just get your mind off the weather. Get your mind on your business. Play ball.
On a night that wasn't fit for man or beast, the Broncos beat back the elements and beat up the Packers. After the Broncos won the toss, Coach Reeves elected to kick off, forcing Green Bay to handle the ball first in snow-swept Mile High Stadium. Packers will start moving from right to left, from south to north. Packers handing the ball off on a loss, and it picked up on the bounce on the fumble. It will be a touchdown for the Broncos on the first play. Louis Wright's touchdown made the score 14-0 with 14 minutes and 23 seconds remaining in the opening quarter. And the Packers never recovered.
This has been Something Something Broncos. Stay tuned for our bonus coverage of John Elway's quarterback on the Nintendo Entertainment System. Tim and I and Lori, we all kind of get into it. We kind of geek out on it. Like, we opened our show with it, and we were like, no, we need to kind of get into the news first. But we have lots of wonderful, beautiful discussion of old 8-bit video games starring your friend John Elway.
Lord, though we have lost Neil Smith to free agency and Steve Atwater to the Jets, still, we hope our beloved Broncos can bring home another Super Bowl championship and once again bathe in the glory of your light. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Broncos.
Broncos.
Let's go, Broncos.
Broncos. Let's go.
Said Bradley Roby, who we lost and replaced with Kareem Jackson.
Son of a bitch. I did it. Fucking said Bradley Roby.
Is that the one where you can get into fights?
That is NFL Blitz. That came out many years later. And yeah, wow. It was okay, so I actually own this here in my little arcade here in the basement. because the first NFL Blitz was the first year that the Broncos won the Super Bowl. So it's like got Steve Atwater and Terrell Davis and John Elway. And so I made like a Bronco Blitz cabinet just for that. And so it was back in the day before like the NFL was like aware that video games could like be a thing, and they have fights and swearing, and they're all like super roided up, and like after the whistle you can like just dogpile whoever had the ball, and it's like it didn't matter at that time. They were just like, whatever, it's like a thing, it's not going to go anywhere, this video game thing, it's a fad.
So
this video game thing.
So yeah.
I think that game stole it. I found the name of it. It's Super High Impact Football. The OG NFL Blitz.
This game. Whoa.
Yes. That's the one where you had to press AB. Because I was like, if you said Super Bowl, gaming had advanced beyond AB. I think it was AB or it was XY. Like, they had more buttons.
The Raiders is a team that we don't care for.
Something. Warning, I do the podcast in my underpants, but it's from belly button up, so you never see anything. So just like
bloggers, you're supposed to do it in your pajamas at least,
right? I blog in much less. Lord Lattimore Volton, Jess Place, and Tim Lynch.
Yes, my master.
Get involved in the conversation at milehighreport.com.
Income.